We pick up our study today in 2 Samuel, 2 Samuel chapter 14, verse 25. And Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. 2 Samuel chapter 14, verse 25. Now in all Israel, there was no one who was praised as much as Absalom for his good looks. From the sole of his foot to the crown of his head, there was no blemish in him. So physically, Absalom looked like a leader. And unfortunately, most people are very superficial when it comes to choosing their leaders. Especially in the television age, you know, people go with what looks good. And being the kind of guy that he was sure didn't hurt Absalom, as we will see. And when he cut the hair of his head at the end of every year, he cut it because it was heavy on him. When he cut it, he weighed the hair of his head at 200 shekels, according to the king's standard. So he had a full head of hair, which probably didn't hurt either. He did not have a receding hairline. It was thick. It was long. And I guess most people were attractive to that. 27. To Absalom were born 3 sons and 1 daughter, whose name was Tamar. She was a woman of beautiful appearance. So evidently physical beauty ran in the family. Verse 28, and Absalom dwelt 2 full years in Jerusalem, but did not see the king's face. And this is something that just doesn't make any sense. David brought Absalom back, but only in a half-hearted way. You can come back to this country. I won't seek to kill you, but I'm not going to talk to you. You know, Absalom is being humiliated by his father in front of the people of Israel. And if you don't think that's going to cause bitterness, then you don't understand human nature, because being humiliated often leads to bitterness. 29, therefore Absalom sent for Joab to send him to the king, but he would not come to him. And when he sent again the second time, he would not come. So Absalom calls for Joab. Joab is the one who came up with the plan to bring Absalom home. You might remember we saw that last time. And so Absalom figures that's, you know, Joab's a good go-between between him and his father. So send for Joab. Got to talk to you about me and my dad. Joab didn't answer. So he sent for Joab again, and Joab did not answer. 30. So he, that is Absalom, said to his servants, see, Joab's field is near mine, and he has barley there, so go and set it on fire. And Absalom's servants set the field on fire. Absalom is sick and tired of playing around. He's sick of this half-heartedness toward him. The king brought him home, but won't see him. 2 years has passed. Joab was the go-between between him and the king, but now Joab won't answer his call. And Absalom is hanging there, not accomplishing anything, not doing anything. And so he takes matters into his own hands here, and he does something drastic. He set Joab's field on fire. That'll get your attention. And it does, verse 31. Then Joab arose and came to Absalom's house and said to him, why have your servants set my field on fire? Well, you know, Joab responded to that. Why have your servants set my field on fire? He should have known the answer, because you've been ignoring me. I'm not saying that Absalom was justified, but The guy was desperate, and desperate people do pretty bad things sometimes if they're pushed too far. And Joab sort of recognized that. 32, and Absalom answered Joab, "Look, I sent to you, saying, 'Come here, so that I may send you to the king to say, why have I come from Geshur? It would be better for me to be there still. Now, therefore, let me see the king's face. But if there is iniquity in me, let him execute me.'" Enough of this lukewarm stuff here. You know, let's either get reconciled, or if I'm that bad, then have me executed, but I'm not going to live like this anymore. Let's just get this thing straight. King, Dad, if I'm so bad that you can't even see me, if what I've done is so horrible, then you better execute me because I'm sick of living like this. Verse 33. So Joab went to the king and told him. And when he had called for Absalom, he came to the king and bowed himself on his face to the ground before the king. Then the king kissed Absalom. So it took some persuading, but the king finally received Absalom. But, you know, he gave him a kiss, but it doesn't appear to be a very good reunion. It was forced, number one. As much as you can force a king, this one was forced. Besides, the damage was done to Absalom. This guy is full of bitterness right now, and I'm not saying he's justified. He should have forgiven his father and just let it be and lived his life the best that he could, but he's full of bitterness. And I tell you, when the Bible talks about bitterness, it says, "Take heed that no root of bitterness be found in any of you, and many be defiled." 15. After this, it happened that Absalom provided himself with chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him. So he's got himself a small army, a group of loyal men. 2. Now Absalom would rise early and stand beside the way to the gate. So it was, whenever anyone who had a lawsuit came to the king for a decision, that Absalom would call to him and say, "What city are you from?" And he would say, "Your servant is from such and such a tribe in Israel." Look at this. Then Absalom would say to him, "Look, your case is good and right, but there is no deputy of the king to hear you. You're not being treated well." And it's interesting how Absalom would stand in the path of those who were going to complain to the king, and he would intercept them, and he would make sure that they knew that he was on their side. Whether he was or not, I don't think, it's not the issue. I don't think he was. He wasn't sincere, but he was just being a politician. He was trying to win the hearts of the people by, you know, telling them what they wanted to hear. "Oh, you should have an audience with the king. There's nobody that the king, none of the king's servants that are even interested in helping you." Look at verse 4. Moreover, Absalom would say, "Oh, that I were made judge in the land, and everyone who has any suit or cause would come to me, then I would give him justice." Look, I am not like the king or any of his servants. I'd take care of you if I was in charge. And, you know, you say that to desperate people, and they're going to believe you. Even if it isn't true, even if they have no reason to believe you, even in a case like this where people should have known that Absalom was doing this because he had a grudge against his father, because it was common knowledge that, you know, his father had ostracized his son and that his son was angry. They should have known better. They should have done their homework, and they wouldn't have bought into his flattery. But look at, he really laid it on heavy. Verse 5. And so it was, whenever anyone came near to bow down to him, that he would put out his hand and take him and kiss him. So he wouldn't let anybody even show him any kind of respect or reverence, he really played it up humble. Oh, don't bow before me. Sure, I would, if I was in charge, I would really take up your cause for you. But I don't want you to think of me as being anything great. I just want to serve you. So he would kiss them and make them feel welcome, like he was just one of the boys, you know, just an ordinary guy. Did it work? Well, verse 6, in this manner Absalom acted toward all Israel who came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. It worked. He flattered the people. He told the people what they wanted to hear. Whether it was true or not didn't matter to them. They wanted to hear it. And that's how people are. If you tell people what they want to hear instead of what they need to hear, chances are they're going to follow you. Most people are not interested in truth. They want to feel good. And so he won the hearts of the people by making them feel good. And look at verse 7. Now it came to pass after 40 years that Absalom said to the king, after 40 years, Absalom said to the king. Actually, the Septuagint and other manuscripts say 4. But anyway, seems more feasible, doesn't it? After 4 years that Absalom said to the king, please let me go to Hebron and pay the vow which I have made to the Lord. And he is lying to the king so that the king will let him go out of town. 8. For your servant took a vow while I dwelt at Geshur in Syria, saying, if the Lord indeed brings me back to Jerusalem, then I will serve the Lord. And this is really bad because Absalom is including God in his lie. He is actually, in a way, asking God to bear witness to his plot, to his scheme. And it's one thing to tell a lie, to deceive, which is what Absalom is doing. But when you include God in your lie, that's taking it to a whole different level. You're now dealing in blasphemy. You're now dealing in taking God's name in vain. Verse 8 or verse 9, and the king said to him, go in peace. So he arose and went to Hebron. The king probably thought, well, you know, my son, he's really on fire for the Lord. Look at how he invokes God and he wants to fulfill a vow that he made to God. And, well, how can I deny him that? So it worked. You know, a lot of people are deceived by religious talk. A lot of people are deceived by pious words. 10. Then Absalom sent spies throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, as soon as you hear the sound of the trumpet, then you shall say, Absalom reigns in Hebron. So that's the plan. When you hear the trumpet, it's going to be time to shout that I'm the leader. 11. And with Absalom went 200 men invited from Jerusalem, and they went along innocently and did not know anything. All they knew is that they were following Absalom, who they liked. They didn't know everything that Absalom was plotting here. 12. Then Absalom sent for Ahithophel, the Gileonite, David's counselor from his city, from Gihon, while he offered sacrifices, and the conspiracy grew strong, for the people with Absalom continually increased in number. So he's got some key people now following him, including Ahithophel, one of David's own counselors. So this thing is picking up momentum. And, you know, I think we're going to stop right here. We'll pick it up in verse 13 next time.